All right, welcome to Locked On Heat. Before we get to the show, we've been teasing this out for a really long time. We have a new intro song. We have a new theme song for this season at Locked On Heat. We're really excited for it, right, David?
Absolutely. New season, new song, and I think it captures the spirit of the show perfectly, not to mention diving into the rich history of the Miami Heat organization.
And before we debut the new intro song, we just want to shout out everybody that did submit any sort of submission, any sort of music. We were absolutely blown away by the quality, first of all. We had no idea so many of our listeners were such musicians, but we did decide on one, and it's by CeeLo Keys. You can find him on all social media at CeeLo Keys. Make sure to check out his SoundCloud page, CeeLo Keys with a Z. And here it is, Locked On Heat's new intro song for the 2017-18 season.
Always locked on Heat, Biscayne, South Beach, Goldberg and Ramil, talking Heat, body chill, got the stats in the news, got the facts and the views, never know what they gon' say, mailbag on a Monday, Pat Riles got the pack ride, Coach Spo got the know-how, three bands in the raps now, Heat Nation, that's a packed house, Heat Talk at the game time, Heat Talk every day, I'm always locked on Heat, got it locked.
Locked on Heat hosts, Wes Goldberg and David Ramil.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm here as always with David Ramil. We're here with our new intro song. That sounded great, right?
Absolutely.
And we're here Sunday night recording after our first preseason game. The Heat beat the Hawks 96-90. And I don't know about you, David, but the guy that stuck out to me was Josh Richardson. Just how athletic he was. He looked healthy. His defense was just downright disruptive. He was impressive.
Yeah. Startling move by Coach Eric Spoelstra, decided to go with Rodney Magruder. Maybe it doesn't mean much, but it seemed like it was a lineup that he was comfortable with. Went with Magruder as a starter. He wound up playing 23 minutes, but Richardson absolutely did start. He just looked really impressive off the bench. Had four really key blocks. Maybe he wasn't as quick rotating defensively, but he had some really nice moves, and he always compensated with that incredible length that you and I have talked about it. Just looked really sharp, again, getting four blocks in the night. Maybe an inferior team in the Atlanta Hawks, maybe again preseason, so take everything with a proverbial grain. But at the same time, he looked really sharp. You know, I liked a lot of things out there today. Again, you know, it's just a preseason game, but a couple other things stood out for me. I think Deion Waiters looked pretty good. Goran, he only played the first quarter, I think, but he looked very sharp as well.
14 minutes, yeah.
Didn't play much. Whiteside, you know, he had some nice moves there. It looked like he was a little bit more restrained defensively, but at the same time, it looked like he was not necessarily chasing blocks and going after guys in the perimeter. I saw him hedging in a couple of screens.
Yeah.
That was something that we hadn't seen from him last season. Well,
yeah, I mean, the Heat's defensive scheme we knew would change when Kelly Olynyk was in at center. We predicted that he would be the backup center behind Whiteside off the bench. And predictably, the defense did change when Olynyk was in there. But really, you're right. When Whiteside was in there, even he was coming out on the perimeter a little bit more. Miami was switching a lot more things than we were used to seeing. Now, that might not be the trend in the regular season. Again, it's preseason. Spoelstra just might be experimenting. He was experimenting with a lot of things tonight, which was pretty obvious. You know, use Justice Winslow. We thought he might be competing for minutes at the three. Justice Winslow spent the night playing power forward and point guard. So we were kind of thrown for a loop in a couple things until the starters were announced. I don't think, you know, Magruder starting at small forward did catch me by surprise a little bit. I thought they'd give Winslow or Richardson the start there, but they gave it to Magruder. He played he scored Miami's first 5 points. He had a good game overall.
He did. Four assists. Not much of a playmaker last year, but he looked like he was actively trying to feed other guys with the ball. It looked like he was contorting himself as he was getting to the rim.
Had some nice dribble moves to the rim.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he wasn't just a catch-and-shoot guy like he was for most of last season. Still displayed that great effort. Look, I don't think it's a long-term solution because, again, he's not getting any taller. Mm-hmm. He's not getting any longer. So he's still going to have problems defending taller wings. But at least as a scorer, he looked like he was a little bit more developed. And that's a positive sign. Always great to have more depth. Another guy that stood out for me also.
On one more note on Magruder, I completely agree with you because, you know, he's not getting any taller, right? But he looked like he was getting more comfortable with the ball in his hands. And we small sample size, like you said. But if that's the case, that's going to be good for him so that he could switch over to maybe a two-guard spot. If he could start attacking off the dribble a little bit more like we saw in this first preseason game, that's going to be huge for him going forward in the position that he probably needs to play in the NBA. There were times during the game where he was just out-jumped, you know, going for rebounds, and where that athleticism just it showed at certain times. But you were gonna say something else.
Yeah, sorry. I like Kelly Olynyk. You know, I think he's going to impress a lot of people there because, you know, I think you're going to tend to look at him and judge him for certain obvious things. You know, he's tall, he's white, and so maybe you might be willing to put him into a certain box. But he brought the ball up on a number of occasions. Yeah. He looked comfortable as a ball handler, had some really nice passes. And aside from that, you know, shot the ball well from the perimeter, also was a really good rebounder, finished with 8 rebounds in the night. I think he led the team. So, or actually he tried with Winslow.
But Tony Fiorentino pointed out it was a good note that he was comfortable going left, which was something that he had noticed at the scrimmage at FAU. And then he had a nice move going left, dribbling with his left hand during the game. You said 8 rebounds, 5 assists. He did have 5 turnovers. Yeah. I'm not that concerned about that because in general this was a high turnover game. Even Tyler Johnson, who's known for not turning the ball over, had 4 turnovers to 0 assists. And that's, you know, that's just the first preseason game jitters, I think. But
getting used to a new team, new teammates, and placement on the court and stuff like that.
You know, James Johnson, we didn't get to see a whole lot of him because he picked up 3 fouls within the first few minutes of the game. He played only 16 minutes and didn't really impress. 2 points, 1
Quick
assist,
point.
1 rebound. Yeah.
Did he look like he might have put on a little bit of weight to you?
Maybe. I don't know if it's muscle or what, but he did look a little bit bigger.
He had that beard going, kind of like, look, my jaw is defined because I have a beard, you know? So I'm wondering if he came into camp, maybe, you know, we saw him work out during the offseason. And maybe, I don't know, it's kind of hard to tell. He's got a weird, not necessarily a weird body, but it was hard to tell. Like, I couldn't tell that he was overweight before last season. Obviously, he lost a lot of weight. It didn't seem like 40 pounds worth of weight, but I wonder where he's at right now. I don't know if anybody's talked about it.
Josh Richardson looked like the opposite. He looked extremely quick. He looked like he was in great shape. He looked like he was playing playoff basketball, and everybody else was just seeing the basketball court for like the first time in months, right?
Okay, but that haircut's got to go, right? Little Uzi Vert?
No.
Come on, man.
Not.
No way. It's got to go.
Why would you say that after this game he just had? What if he shaved him off and then he played terribly? Well, how would you feel?
Okay. Is it worth keeping him with playing at that level with that current hairstyle?
I love it. I love the little Uzi Vert. It's like little Uzi Vert. It's like almost little Uzi Vert because it's not quite to that length of braids, but it's getting there. I'm so on board. I'm so on board with them.
All right. I'll leave it to you millennials to decide exactly what kind of hairstyle.
You'll have a better argument if he comes out with a bad game. But he played great. That was one of the best games Josh Richardson has ever played. It's a shame it happened in the preseason.
Yeah, you're right. But he's proving that he's worth every penny of that contract so far. So
he can do whatever he wants with his hair, as far as I'm concerned. Winslow looked okay. We talked about him for a little bit, but we've always got to mention the shooting numbers. 3 of 6, didn't take any threes, 8 rebounds, 2 assists. He had a steal, 3 blocks. Richardson had 4 blocks. I'm not sure if we mentioned that already.
We did.
Winslow was plus 11. Richardson was plus 15. There was a play where Josh Richardson deflected a pass or altered it at the rim. I couldn't quite tell. And then Winslow got the rebound or the deflection. Brought it back down the court, found Richardson. Richardson ended up with the finish and scoring. And so that was great. Just, you know, defense on one side of the ball with these two former rookies, right? Rook 1 and Rook 2, as they've come to be known. Doing it defensively as they always have, but then getting it done offensively just together. It was great.
Yeah, both of them looked very comfortable driving to the rim. There were a couple times when they put the ball down in traffic. That's something that we haven't seen. I think I think Winslow missed a couple shots at the rim where he might have been able to finish those, and I think that'll get there. But still, look, you're taking advantage of a team like the Atlanta Hawks that are missing Dwight Howard, who they had last year, and they've got Ersan Ilyasova in his place, or Dwayne Dedman, and those aren't guys that are going to move the needle. I mean, this is obviously a team that's going to struggle, but from the Heat side of things, I think you saw enough positives out there, and you know, it is the preseason, but you want to start to see these kinds of things gain momentum over the course of the preseason. Only 5 games left, a shorter preseason, even though it's a longer preseason that they're starting earlier in the year. Less games to be played, so you have these moments have to stand out, and I'm curious to see. I'm going to have the opportunity to see them on Friday against the Orlando Magic, so I'm hoping I can see some of these things take another step forward in the next game.
Can't wait to hear what you've found out when you're there, and just great to have basketball back. I mean, it was just first game of preseason, but I turned off the NFL as soon as the game was on, and I was happy as a clam.
Yeah, well, the Dolphins did pretty badly. So
I woke up for that crap. It was just
especially on the West Coast.
It started at 6:30 in the morning, and last
like,
night was Saturday.
Like watching
night.
Olympic games.
It wasn't
though,
easy.
Yeah.
This wasn't easy. Like, but I did it, and I don't know why. I should. It was obvious. I could have just went back to bed after like 3 series, but whatever. All right, let's do the mailbag. But first, buying tickets to sports and concerts used to be complicated, but there's a better, simpler way to buy. Stop purchasing tickets like it's 2010. It's 2017. You should be using SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to the live events that you want to see. SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience lets you buy and sell tickets in just 2 taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will help you get closer to the action at a great value. I've got the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the easiest way that I found to shop for tickets. I could be anywhere, anywhere. And with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats. I actually use SeatGeek on my phone more than I use it on my computer at home.
Right.
Just because you hear about it, you're out and about, you hear about something you want to go to, and you do it. Look, don't open up 1,000 browser tabs anymore. Take the guesswork out of it. Let SeatGeek do the work for you. It saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices, find you amazing deals, and to get the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on its value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed so you could shop with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, our listeners get $20 off of their first SeatGeek purchase. All you have to do, download the SeatGeek app on your phone, enter the promo code LONBA, that's promo code LONBA, and you get $20 off of your first SeatGeek purchase. All right,
it's
mailbag time.
A great deal for our listeners.
Great deal. Mailbag time. Kurt from Gainesville asks, one of you mentioned that Hassan Whiteside is now trade bait. He's referring to our player 2-a-days. I think he's referring to me. I think I said Whiteside. Okay, so he said, Whiteside is now trade bait since we signed Kelly Olynyk and Bam Adebayo. That is a very interesting idea that I hadn't thought of. I loaded up the trade machine, and to be honest, for who? I can't find a single trade that makes sense for either party. I'd be interested to hear this discussed more in depth. That's what we do here, Kurt from Gainesville. So, if you don't mind, David, I've got I spent some time at the trade machine.
Yes.
I'm going to leave this up to you. Should I just list them all off? I've got several trades that I figured out that are all ace.
Let's go for it. Go ahead and read them off and we'll break them out. Yeah.
Okay. So first trade, Miami gets Greg Monroe's expiring contract and 2 future first round picks, and Milwaukee gets Hassan Whiteside. All right. Next one. The Heat get Robin Lopez.
Okay.
He's got 2 years left on his deal. Denzel Valentine, Chris Dunn, and a top 3 protected first round pick, and Chicago gets Hassan Whiteside.
Okay.
Next one. Miami gets Jonas Valanciunas, DeLon Wright, and Bruno Caboclo, and a 2020 first-round pick from Toronto, and the Raptors get Hassan Whiteside. And then my last one, no, I got 2 more. Miami gets DeAndre Jordan. This might be my favorite one. DeAndre Jordan, the Clippers' 2021 first-round pick, top 14 protected, so protected for the lottery, their 2019 second-round pick, and their 2020 second-round pick. The Clippers get Whiteside. I'll explain why this is my favorite. Then my last one is Miami gets DeMarcus Cousins and Alexis Ajinsa, and the New Orleans Pelicans get Whiteside. So which one of these do you hate the most?
Which one of these do I hate? I don't know that I hate any of them. I think from, you know, there's a couple that probably seem very, very unlikely. Mm-hmm. I think the least likely is probably the Clippers one. I mean, the trade for Jordan seems to make a lot of sense in that he's, you know, duplicative of the same kind of skill set that Whiteside has. Obviously, there was the noted beef from a season ago about what exactly Jordan does and Whiteside does it better, et cetera. You know, but I don't think even a guy like, you know, Doc, who has been much chastised for the way he runs the team.
Doc doesn't run the team anymore, though.
No, I know. Exactly. So, if you know, even Doc wouldn't have made this deal.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, so DeAndre Jordan has the player option at the end of the year, right?
So things would have to go pretty badly in L.A.
That's
for
exactly
him to want to opt out.
Exactly, right? So let's say without Chris Paul, they lack leadership. They don't really know what they're doing on the court. And they're like 10 games under 500 by February. Mm. And DeAndre Jordan's like, I don't want to go there. Maybe Doc Rivers is experimenting a little bit more with Blake Griffin at center, which maybe rubs DeAndre Jordan the wrong way. You know, we did hear Griffin might be playing a little bit more center this year, so it's possible. And this, what if they're 10 games under 500 by then and they say, there's no way DeAndre Jordan's coming back. We like DeAndre Jordan more than Hassan Whiteside because that's our dude, but Whiteside's locked up for 3 more years. Jordan's going to opt out after this year. We can't lose in back-to-back summers Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan. And then Miami, they get DeAndre Jordan, who might want to stay in Miami. They would get his bird rights, so they'd be able to re-sign him. And then they get a bunch of draft picks. They get to restock the cupboard of draft picks. Now, the 2021 first-round pick that I proposed, that's lottery-protected, isn't great, but it's a first-round pick. And then you load up on a couple second-round picks. I don't know. I don't love it. But that's that. I wouldn't do it either. If I was the Heat, I wouldn't even do it because I think Whiteside has a higher ceiling than Jordan. And plus, making that kind of trade could rub the locker room the wrong way, and we don't want that to happen. But the other one I really liked was the Milwaukee one. And I actually discussed this on the Hardwood Knox podcast, which is NBAMath.com's NBA podcast. And I kind of came up with this one on the fly when I was talking with them because they were asking me about Whiteside and what his trade value might be. And getting Greg Monroe's expiring contract, so he comes off the books after this year, and two future first rounders. First of all, for the Bucks are in a situation where they can make the win now move that Minnesota did by acquiring Jimmy Butler, right? It's we've got our young star, but we need somebody right now. And we need somebody that could do this specific thing. For Minnesota, they need somebody that can create their own shot and score. For Milwaukee, they lack rebounding and they lack rim protection badly. Whiteside would help those both things a lot, and he's super long, he's super athletic, and he would fit in right with their just giant 7-foot wingspan lineups, right? I kind of like that move from Milwaukee.
I don't know. From Milwaukee's perspective, I could see it trying to shed Monroe's contract, although from what I gather, Moose is a pretty popular figure in the locker room and in the fan base. So I don't know that he's that easy to pry, although as an expiring deal, that might be their best asset. But the two first rounders, that seems like a very high price to pay for a guy like Whiteside, particularly if you believe that Thon McCur is their future at center, right? And that's what we were led to believe. I think didn't he start there or play significant minutes there last year in the postseason? I mean,
I think that's taking a pretty big leap to assume that Thon McCur is like, if you're Milwaukee,
ready?
Yeah, I feel like there's a window, right? The Cavaliers might be vulnerable. The Celtics are going to take some time to coalesce into a unit. And there's a big debate whether or not they're even better. So
I think the issue for Milwaukee more than anything else is probably this season, they're not going to make any noise. They're going to the playoffs, fine. Jabari Parker's deal comes off the books potentially. You know, he's in the last year before he enters restricted free agency. They have to make a decision on him, whether or not they trade him or keep him and try and bargain and see if they can negotiate a decent contract. But the bigger issue that looms largest, I think, is Antetokounmpo's deal and whether or not they can re-sign him. When does he become an unrestricted free agent? Is that 2020?
I think they already extended him, didn't they?
Did they?
Yeah, I think they gave him a below market extension so that they could re-sign Jabari Parker.
Oh.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
No, no. You should listen to Lockdown Bucks more. Absolutely should.
Yeah, 4-year, $100 million exception last year. They did it in September last year. 4-year.
So he's locked in for how long?
Four more years. His extension kicks in this year. So he's good. And then Jabari Parker, they've got his rights. So they could decide however and it sounds like they're gonna extend him if they haven't already.
So you've got a long longer window there because Giannis obviously is a straw that serves a drink. Do you want to mortgage your future with trading away these two first rounders?
If you're Milwaukee, you've got to assume that these first rounders are going to be like in the 20s, right? Like who cares? Well, you trade a couple low first round picks for Whiteside?
I don't know.
I'm not sure I would do it if I'm in the Heat. The only reason I do that if I'm Miami is if I 100% believe that Kelly Olynyk is a better, or even Bam Adebayo is a better fit in the starting lineup as opposed to Whiteside. Because even if you trade Whiteside's contract away, unless you go ahead and you're able to unload Tyler Johnson too, you're not getting any cap space next year. Even with Greg Monroe's expiring contract, you're not gaining any cap space because Miami's already $11 million, I think, over the cap. So you're not gaining anything really by that. But
I think we're doing that thing that respective fan bases do, where we devalue everybody else's players. And I don't know. I don't know exactly the mindset of that Milwaukee front office. But two future first rounders, even for a guy like Whiteside, for another three seasons of Whiteside.
Somebody that he opens up their window right now.
Maybe they could capitalize. Maybe they could get past Cleveland if LeBron goes on the downside there. If he starts to take a little bit of a drop.
I mean, that's the leap they'd have to make, right? They'd have to decide we have an opportunity right now, even without Whiteside, but we could trade two future first rounders for Whiteside right now, and that would help us. That would have to be the leap. I think the team that would jump on this is Toronto. The Toronto deal, I think they would just jump at the idea of getting rid of Valanciunas.
Yes.
And they would just gladly part with Delon Wright, who's nice for them, but he's nice. Bruno Caboclo, who hasn't exactly panned out. I think he only played in like 18 games last year. And the 2021st, which they've been very open to just trading draft picks lately. So,
I haven't heard anything. Sorry, I haven't heard anything about their plan at Ibaka. Is he going to be their starting five?
No, I think Valanciunas is the starting five, and Ibaka is the four. Yeah. Yeah, they signed him to that extension that they probably shouldn't have because he really beat up on Whiteside in the playoffs a few years ago. Yeah. But
well, I'm all in on the Chicago deal. Anything to get Rolo on the roster, that would be awesome.
I'm a fan of Denzel Valentine too, so I'd take it. All right. Our next question comes from Brian Young. There's a lot of discussion on Heat Twitter about which Heat players have the best shot at being All-Stars, with the consensus two picks being Hassan Whiteside and Goran Dragic, Dion Waiters. Ooh. An outside third pick. That's a tricky name. But despite the East losing many of its all-stars, I'm not sure that either will be able to make the team. In my opinion, each of their main competition will be, ready? LeBron, yes. Giannis, Gordon Hayward, Kristaps Porzingis, Joel Embiid, Kevin Love, Miles Turner, Andre Drummond, Otto Porter, Aaron Gordon possibly, John Wall, Kyrie Irving. You get it. I don't have to list all of these guys. Do you guys think that one of Hassan Whiteside, Goran Dragic, or Dion Waiters can beat out enough of these players in these groups to be all-stars? So Whiteside's got to beat out some of the best front court guys like LeBron, like Giannis. Goran and Dion, they've got to beat out the likes of John Wall, Kemba Walker, Kyrie Irving, Kyle Lowry, Bradley Beal. So,
it's tough to say. We've talked about this on a number of occasions, but I think the thing that we have to consider most is the kind of narratives that will be building up as the All-Star game selection starts taking place, and a lot depends on the team record. And if you start to build enough hype, if Whiteside has a couple of big games here and there in those weeks leading up to the All-Star game selection, all of a sudden the buzz starts to pick up and he starts to become a much more obvious choice. It depends on the Heat's overall record as well. If they're winning games, we heard during tonight's broadcast how Josh Richardson is focused, and perhaps the team at large is focused on being the first team to be 10 games over 500.
Right.
That's a hell of a goal to reach. And sure, it's certainly possible if they have that kind of chemistry that we talked about. But if that's the case, and all of a sudden Miami looks like this front runner in the Eastern Conference out of nowhere, then all of a sudden you have to give one of those guys consideration.
I think. You look at the 2015 Hawks, we love to compare this Heat team to for some reason.
Yes. some reason, it seems obvious. I mean, it's a team that didn't have any all-stars.
I hate the comparison. But they, because of their record by the all-star break and because of how impressive they were, a lot of players on that team forced their way into the all-star game. The Detroit Pistons of years ago, the Chauncey Billups Pistons.
They suck.
they also forced their way into the all-star game, multiple players on those rosters. So if the Heat are the first team over 10 games over 500 or whatever their record might be by the all-star break, one or two or maybe even three of these guys could force their way onto the team. Their stats just need to be at least comparable. They don't have to be better.
Right?
They just need to be comparable, and the overall team record has to be better than somebody like Charlotte or, even Washington, something like that. So, I think if that's the case, it's very possible.
As far as that front court is concerned, Joel Embiid, obviously with him, it's always hell.
Yeah.
Miles Turner has a hell of an opportunity to put up some big numbers, but big numbers on a pretty bad team, which is what we expect Indiana to be, doesn't necessarily play out very well with the voters. I mean, Embiid didn't necessarily.
I'm not buying the Miles Turner hype.
Oh, wow. Really? I love Turner.
I love him as an individual player, but it's a really hard position for him. That's a really tough position for him to be in because they are going to. They're going to funnel the offense through him.
Right.
And he does, like you said, he's got the opportunity to put up big numbers, but that's a big difference than where he was at his first 2 years, where Paul George was basically a ball hog on the Indiana Pacers. And I don't know. I think that's a really hard position for him. And there's a lot of early, he's a front runner to make the All-Star team kind of hype right now. And I'm just, sure. I don't like that position that he's in. I get it from a fantasy basketball perspective. It might be great. But for, real NBA basketball, and that the Pacers are not going to be good. Their record's going to be very bad. And if Miles Turner has that big opportunity, he's also going to be the guy that people might blame for that. It's just that's the position he's in. I don't like that position for him.
Well, I don't know. I kind of disagree on that because I think that he'll just – I think people will start to see the big numbers and he'll get the accolades. And he'll be like, he's just a part of a rebuilding effort. I mean, I think you're looking at it from that analyst perspective of big numbers on bad teams. Of course, somebody has to put up those shots. It might as well be him. But at the same time, I think the larger perspective will be that he's carrying the team as other star players have done in the past.
I'm glad you brought up Embiid because I'm not sure he's even going to play enough games to qualify in a lot of minds.
I think I'm taking a leap this year, to be honest with you.
In games played for Embiid?
No, I mean Embiid or I was talking about Drummond, but you're right. Embiid. Always a question mark. I mean, look, I don't know. I'm not sold on it because I haven't seen enough. Everybody's talking about him like he's the best center of all time, and he may very well turn out to be. But until he plays more than 30 games, I'm not sure we can actually make that kind of assumption.
Yeah. All right. Well, the other guy that sticks out to me is Bradley Beal. If we go to the backcourt, I think he's going to have a big year for Washington.
It's possible.
D'Angelo Russell, Avery Bradley, those are other guys. Dwayne Wade, Victor Oladipo is coming back to the Eastern Conference. Dennis Schroeder for Atlanta is going to have an even bigger, responsibility to lead that team. They're all the guy. All those guys are in the same kind of place as Goran Dragic and Deion Waiters. So, okay. Our next question comes from Chris Leach. He asks, "Do you think that having a guy like Bam Adebayo on the team will motivate Hassan Whiteside to focus more on his agility in workouts while also motivating him to be more willing on the perimeter?" As a defender, I think that's what he means. I think seeing and practicing with a guy with that raw agility and effort could help push Whiteside into an even better defender. I'm not knocking Whiteside. He's really good. But if he were to even be 10% better in that area, the Heat would be scary. So Chris asked this question before the preseason game aired. And we saw in this preseason game, we mentioned it a little bit in the opening, Whiteside did come out and show a little bit more on the perimeter. Now, that it might just be fresh legs in the first game of a preseason. That's why he did it. It wasn't that he wouldn't do it last year. It was just that he was inconsistent in the effort. But what do you think?
I don't know if the two are related. It's possible that the lessons that Spoelstra has been trying to drum in there finally filtered through. But at the same time, I don't know that it's the presence of Adebayo that inspires Whiteside. Whiteside strikes me as the kind of guy that's not really going to care that there's this more agile rookie on the team. I just think, you know, he's played with other agile players before. He played with Chris Bosh. If seeing one of the best perimeter defending centers of all time be on the roster and work daily wasn't enough to inspire you, having this rookie kind of quote-unquote pressure you ain't going to do much either. And I don't necessarily see that as being the driving force or the motivating factor behind a guy like Whiteside. You know, NBA players tend to be kind of set in their ways when it comes to that. It's like, I do what I do. I'm going to try and do it better by sheer force, you know, force of will and kind of just work and work and work. That's how they're wired, I think. And that's why they're the superstar level talents that they are. I don't know that they'll necessarily see a guy like that and be like, oh, I'm scared or I'm worried or I'm going to be motivated by this.
I'm okay with that, to be honest, with Whiteside. He's just – agility isn't necessarily something you can work on. Foot speed isn't really something you can work on as far as a raw ability. You can work on footwork. That's different than foot speed. And Whiteside has room to improve in that area, and he has in little increments since he's had this role for the last couple of years. But I'd almost prefer Whiteside to just double down on what he's good at, which is – just blocking shots at the rim, protecting the rim, rebounding the ball well. Offensively, I think he's got room to grow, and that's where I would maybe focus mostly with Whiteside as far as just like out of the norm developments. But defensively, I really just want him coming from the weak side and blocking shots and just and doing that, because I think for Miami, that has the best benefit. I just rather than going from like okay to a little bit better as far as hedging and closing out on the perimeter and stuff like that, I'd rather him just stay really great and get even better protecting the rim. That's where his value is, and I'm fine with him doing that. And I'm fine with guys like James Johnson and Bam Adebayo and Kelly Olynyk and Justice Winslow, for that matter, being the guys who can play a little bit of small ball and defend guys out on the three-point line with more consistency. I'm fine with that. That's why you have multiple guys on the roster. They can all help and cover up in different things. I think having a guy like Bam maybe could motivate Whiteside, just in a general sense. I just don't know if it'll motivate him in these specific areas. You know what I mean? Like, it just kind of having a guy like Kelly Olynyk and Bam behind him on long-term contracts could be like, hey, like if you don't perform, we've got other guys that we could put in. You know, this isn't having Willie Reed on a minimum expiring contract last year. These are long-term guys. If you're not up to par, we've got other answers. So maybe that in some psychological sense can help motivate him, but I'm not even sure he really needs the motivation, to be honest. So
good point. Good question, though.
Yeah, totally. We got our last question as a two-parter from Lyle Yahweh. Let's do the first part, and then we'll go to the second part.
You got it.
As opposed to any other way, I'm not really sure what it would have been. I would like to start off by saying Justice Winslow is not a bust. Definitely not aimed at anyone in particular. He said it wasn't aimed at anyone.
Yeah, right. We know what our listeners are petty. It's Twitter out there. We know that they raise pettiness to a whole other level.
Anyway,
Dave. Thanks.
Could Justice start next to Josh Richardson in the lineup? And
neither of them can start.
Can either of them. He could start the four, and his improved shape will make him harder for opposing force to defend. How possible is it for Rook 1 and Rook 2 to both start in their third season? Chances are slim. I think this team is pretty committed to James Johnson starting at the four.
Yeah.
So barring injury, right? If James Johnson or Deion Waiters were to get hurt, I could see Winslow and Richardson filling in at the forward positions, or Winslow coming in at small forward, Richardson moving over to the shooting guard. I could see something like that happening. This question came in, to be fair, before the first preseason game on Sunday night. It does seem like these guys are going to share the court quite a bit, and there is a plan that Eric Spoelstra has. If the first preseason game shows us anything. And he's wanted to do this in the past, right? In each of their first two seasons, he likes to get them both on the court at the same time. I think that's still going to be the case in their third years.
Yeah, I mean, they do have complementary skills. I mean, you know, Richardson's probably a little bit better of a shooter. You know, Winslow's a better of a playmaker. And it makes sense to have them both out there. They're young, they're athletic, they're versatile as far as defensive switchability is concerned. They can guard a number of players. I mean, it's great to have them out there. As far as their starting, it doesn't seem likely, right? I mean, you're absolutely right. I think there's too much depth on this team right now, and having those two guys out there doesn't seem very, very likely.
What do you think about Winslow coming in as the backup James Johnson in the first preseason game?
It was excellent. I think that's what you and I have talked about, his ideal role being. I mean, being a guy who can guard a number of positions, probably 1 through 5, having the strength and the length. And he looked to be making plays. He looked to be taking a shot when he had that opportunity. Mm-hmm. Didn't seem forced. I think it's a comfortable role for him. I think last year he was a starter and it might have been too much, you know, with the absence of Wade. And I think this was a better place for him to be. So, I mean, I don't know that we'd want him to start. I think he's more comfortable coming off the bench, and I think that's a good place for him.
Off the bench with Kelly Olynyk specifically, that worked.
Yeah, that worked
exactly how we thought it would work, right? It looked good.
Yeah. I mean, Olynyk, I can't get past it. I don't know if I didn't watch enough Boston last year, but he seemed comfortable. You know, they talked about, I think Tony Fiorentino mentioned that he was in the quote-unquote best shape of his career.
He looked maybe like he was in better shape than he was in Boston. He looked fast. He was getting up and down the court quickly. And often, you know, it didn't look like he was getting tired out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Is he left-handed?
I don't know.
I think he is. Because he was holding off somebody, bringing the ball up with his right hand. And then he was dribbling with his left and he was holding somebody off with his offhand.
Mm-hmm.
And he seemed very comfortable doing it. I mean, I guess it's an NBA player. You'd think that everybody should do it. But no, not guys that are.
Basketball Reference says he shoots right.
Okay, well, there you go. Yeah, okay. I thought he might be left-handed, but he's very comfortable with a left-handed dribble. I was impressed with it. Yeah. And, yeah, he did make some nice passing. So,
all right, I closed out of the mailbag. Here it is. So the second part of this question, Bam Adebayo is a monster. He has great potential and ability. I like how Lyle starts his questions. It's a definitive statement, either making fun of you or complimenting Bam Adebayo, and then he goes into the question. Because when we drafted him, I was like, what did Pat Riley just do? But in 5 minutes or so, I liked the pick and remembered in Riley we trust. Will Bam be able to force his way into the rotation and get 15 minutes a game? I don't think I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, no.
We don't want to extrapolate too much from the first preseason game. It does seem that Bam, even though he's the 14th pick, so he's not quite the rookie that Derek Walton or Matt Williams is. Right. He's still a rookie, and it looks like the Heat are lumping him in with the other rookies. And the other guy, and like a Jordan Mickey, who's coming out of long stints in the G League. He's of that group. He's not necessarily of the core rotation. I don't know what it would take to force his way and get 15 minutes a game. I
don't think he can. I don't think there's anything that he could possibly do. He's not going to be a better defender than Whiteside. He's not going to be a better, from what we saw, offensive playmaker or shooter than Olynyk is. Right. So at this point, he's too raw in either aspect of his game to make that much of a difference. I think the two guys that you have and you're committing 30 some odd million dollars to this season probably will be taking the preference there. And look, he is a rookie. And even though you have a lot of expectations for him being the 14th pick in the draft, the reality is there's no promise of playing time. You drafted him before you went and picked up Olynyk in free agency, so that changes things a little bit. And you have 4 years to work with him, so at least, in the hope that maybe he'll turn into a much more versatile player than he's been. And, you know, I think there's no need to rush him along. I think you kind of just build him slowly. You did point out on Twitter during the game that he did display a knack for getting to the line. He got, I think, 4 free throws very early on. He just drew contact right away. He's strong. He's quick. Again, this is second-teamers, maybe even third-teamers that were guarding him at that point when he came into the game, but that's still something that we're going to look for, I think, and that's fine. That's something that he'll have to continue to develop. Fortunately, he didn't make those free throws, right?
Yeah, I thought it was a really good sign that he came in and he was, within the first 2 minutes, he took 2 trips to the free throw line. I love it. 9.5 free throw attempts per game during summer league. It's just, he's got a knack for it. He's super agile. He seems comfortable with the ball in his hand. He's all the talent in the world, and I wish he would play more. You know, Heat Twitter was basically just wondering when he was going to get in this first preseason game, and everybody was very excited to see him. And he didn't disappoint. he flashed some really incredible stuff, and so that athleticism and that potential is there. I just think he needs a little bit more rounding out, like you said. If he can get a little bit more polished in the way of an Olynyk, offensively, if he can protect the rim and have something to hang his hat on defensively like Hassan Whiteside does, once he accomplishes one of those two things at least, maybe he starts working his way into the offense. He'll play quite a bit in Sioux Falls, I imagine, this year. That could help. But we'll see. So,
one last point. Sure. I can't believe neither of us brought it up earlier. Did you shed a tear when we saw Luke Babbitt in an Atlanta Hawks jersey?
I was so excited. I was so excited to see him. He looks...
New haircut, too?
I'd say he looks happy, but he doesn't.
No, he does not. Absolutely not.
It's a shame. I don't think anybody on that Hawks team looks happy. Mike Budenholzer just was like, what am I even doing here on the sidelines?
Yeah.
And they kept flashing... Like, Fox Sports kept flashing to their new general manager, and he looked like, why did I do this?
Yeah, the former Heat video coordinator, as Tony were talking about. Shrink, was that the last name there? I think Mike Shrink, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. But, anyway, poor Babbitt.
Yeah.
Best of luck to him. You know, it's funny, they did talk about his improved defense, but they also talked about how painfully shy he is. So hopefully he'll be able to break out of it a little bit and feel comfortable in Atlanta, although I don't anticipate that being the case.
Either way, super excited the season is back. Excited for this whole season in general. We got a bunch of stuff in store for Lockdown Heat. We got a website coming out soon.
Yes.
We're really excited for everything that we've got happening, including the new intro song and a new closing song. This one by Mojave Wild. You can find their stuff on Spotify. You can follow them on Instagram, Mojave Wild with a J. You know, we don't have to teach South Florida fans how to say that. YouTube search Mojave Wild. They come right up. And you can check them out on MojaveWild.com as well. So today's show was brought to you by SeatGeek, the smartest and easiest way to find tickets for the games, concerts, and shows you want to go to. Use the promo code LONBA. You get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Send mailbag questions in the future to LockedOnHeat@gmail.com or tweet them to us using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Follow us on Twitter @LockedOnHeat. And if you're not subscribed already, please do so to get the podcast automatically every day. Then go to iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
Absolutely, Wes. Yeah.